بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are talking about the Muslim identity. What is it that differentiates us from everybody else? Because differentiation is the key to success in life, whether it is careers, whether it is personalities as individuals, whether it is ideologies, whether it is communities, nations. Only those who differentiate, and those who differentiate on in a positive way, which adds value to those around them, these are the people who are truly successful. The differentiation of Islam is based on this. And when we differentiate on the basis of Islam, we are showing that what we have as our religion and as our way of life is something which stands out and which adds value to everyone who comes into contact with it in whatever way that is. So we have looked at the different elements of this differentiation. We looked at being slaves, true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truly obedient to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. We looked at the importance and the value of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. We looked at being humble in our ways. We looked also at how to act even when we are provoked. May Allah help us to live with those and to do those things and to live with those learnings. And then we looked at the conscious focus on the akhirah and seeking the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from punishment on the day of judgment. And then we looked also at how we spend, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that his slaves, may Allah make us among them, are those who are neither extravagant nor stingy, but hold a medium way. Today we look at another of the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described, where He said, وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَى أَثَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and those who do not invoke any other ilah, any other god, any other idol, any other thing as the object of his worship along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do not kill whatever Allah has forbidden from being killed, and except for just cause, and nor do they commit illegal sexual intercourse, they don't fornicate, they are not adulterers, and whoever does this shall receive the punishment. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning three things. Allah is mentioning shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning murder and harming of others, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning fornication and promiscuity and immorality. I remind myself and you, my brothers and sisters, that Islam is a way of life. Islam is not simply a set of rituals. It's not something. It's not simply a set of ways of worshipping. It is a complete way of life. So Islam addresses the principles of our existence. Islam addresses specific things in our behavior. And obviously, because it is a divine religion, it's a divine way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us, He knows our trigger points, He knows those things where we are the weakest. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing those specific things. Allah is addressing our concern for ourselves. Allah is addressing our ways of seeking pleasure, irrespective of the fact that this pleasure is momentary, whereas the result of that pleasure is harmful, and that harm can be permanent and can be long-term. But we still seek that pleasure. I mean, ask anyone who is on any kind of a drug. Whether they don't know that this in the long term is harmful. Ask someone who's smoking cigarettes, for example. Ask someone who drinks alcohol, for example. Ask someone who is promiscuous. Then everybody knows. Everyone knows that these things are wrong. Everyone knows they're harmful. But we still indulge in them because they give us momentary pleasure, even though we know that we are doing it at a huge cost to ourselves. And in some cases, as in the case of alcohol, as in the case of promiscuity and so on, also to others. Yet we don't care. All that we care about is our personal wish and pleasure. Now, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahu alam, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined shirk with these things. Because in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the issue of shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you not seen those who have made their desires their ilah, their objects of worship? And are you going to intercede for them? Are you going to be an advocate for them in their favor? Are you going to ask, seek forgiveness for such people? That's a rhetorical question where Allah is actually saying, do not seek forgiveness for them. And who are these people? Those who worship their desires. Now, what is the meaning of worshipping the desire? Worshipping the desire is to give the desire the level of worship, meaning that when the question comes of obeying Allah, we disobey Allah and we obey the desire. Now, why do I call it worship? Because what is worship? Worship is obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Islam, we know that every action that is done with the desire of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an act of worship. So, therefore, it is a question of, when we say worship, we are saying this is the desire that when we obey Allah, we are worshipping Allah. When we obey somebody or something else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in opposition to the order of Allah, then we are worshipping that thing instead of worshipping Allah. And that is the meaning of worshipping desires. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us from fornication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us from killing anyone or anything which Allah has not permitted us. And that's across the board. Allah did not permit us to kill anyone or anything. In Islam, for example, trophy hunting is haram. Killing an animal just because it has large horns, just because it has tusks, just because it is a big animal or something, and you are hunting it purely for that reason, this is haram in Islam. Islam permits hunting where hunting is legal for the purpose of eating that animal for the purpose of food. If you don't need the food, then to kill that animal is against the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we go hunting, we say, oh, this is a fantastic thing, and we say, this is very Islamic. It's not Islamic, excuse me. It is not Islamic. Trophy hunting is haram. Similarly, obviously, I don't even need to say that killing a human being is the haramest of the haram. There is no permission in Islam for anyone to kill another human being, no matter who or what that human being is, no matter his or her race, no matter his or her gender, no matter his or her religion, no matter his or her actions or activities. The only exception to that is if you are attacked and you fight back, and in that process the other person gets harmed, then this is self-defense and you have not tried to harm that person. But to kill somebody because you don't like their face, because you don't like their religion, because you don't like their political views or whatever, this is haram. Including, for example, to kill somebody who you have seen doing something wrong. For example, a thief comes into your house and you just shoot the thief, you just kill the thief. This is not permissible in Islam. If you see somebody committing murder and then this person has been arrested, the murderer is not running away, is not escaping, but you go kill the murderer because he killed somebody who you loved, this is haram in Islam. This does not, you do not have the right to kill even the murderer, even if you are a witness to that murder. The capital punishment is permissible in Islam, but capital punishment is permissible only for the state. It is for the nation, it's for the state, it is for the ruler to investigate a case. It's for the police department, which is acting on behalf of the ruler, to investigate a case and to bring the evidence to a court of law. It is the job of the court of law to prescribe a punishment, to sentence that person to death if that evidence justifies that. And then the death sentence is carried out by the state. Even in that case, Islam is the only religion, it's the only legal system which allows two other things instead of capital punishment. One is what is called blood money. So in certain or most cases, a person may give money as a compensation instead of losing his life or her life to the dependents and to the family of the person that he or she killed. And if that is accepted, then they are set free. And the second one, which is even more amazing, is that Islam actually legally permits the victims to forgive the aggressor. Just like that, without any blood money, without anything, without any punishment, the victim can simply say, I have forgiven this person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person is set free. There is no punishment involved after that. Islam is the only legal system which actually permits this, where in the case of murder, Islam allows, quite literally, allows the murderer to go away scot-free. And this is not injustice. This is giving a human being the opportunity of forgiving another human being for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, it is very important for us to keep this in mind and to understand that to indulge in our desires in opposition to the will and orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amounts to shirk. So in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned shirk, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who kill others, which is against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who indulge in their base desires, who indulge in fornication, Allah mentioned them also. And Allah said that these will be punished. I remind myself anew, the fundamental thing which we began with, which differentiates a Muslim from everybody else, is that he or she is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with the elimination of shirk, with the elimination of worshipping anyone or anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our lives. And when we do that, we have created a situation where we are on Tawheed, where we are worshipping only Allah. Worship equals to obedience. So we obey only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not obey our desires. We do not obey anyone in opposition to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of differentiating on the basis of Islam. I remind myself anew, let us think about that. Let us reflect on this and let us do that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.